Moncrief on News Talk.
In 2017, Feagan Murray's son, Martin, was killed in the terrorist attack on the Manchester Arena. And over the past 8 years, Feagan has campaigned relentlessly to bring into being what's become known as Martin's Law. It was signed into legislation last week. Feagan, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
No one can imagine the grief you must have suffered when the attack on the Manchester Arena took place. In the time after that, though, did you come to realise that perhaps if certain measures had been in place, that it might have been slightly different? And what kind of measures were they?
Yes. Last week there was a BBC interview with a judge who actually conducted the Manchester Arena inquiry, and he was asked if Martin's Law would have saved those 22 people, and he immediately said yes, it would have done. And I also believe that had Martin's Law been in existence then, they would all still be alive.
And so the law itself, what kind of measures does it say have to be taken?
So Martin's Law is in two sections. Section one is called the standard duty, which is for any venue from 200 people to 799. Basically, what they need to do is that the staff all know where to lock down the building, how to lock down a building, where to evacuate and hide safely, where to evacuate if they have to leave the building safely, and also how to communicate to staff, colleagues, customers, and the outside authorities to communicate effectively. That's the standard duty. The enhanced duty is for any venue 800 plus. Any bigger venues, and what they need to do is all the stuff I mentioned, but in addition, they have to provide good CCTV provision, they have to train staff in counter-terror measures, and there's lots and lots of free of charge training that the government is has put online, and you can also do it face to face, and also that they have to keep documentation in case something ever happens, so they can actually say what they've done, evidence what they've done.
Yeah. So, and from what you're saying, it sounds to me that training staff for these kind of eventualities is very important.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously for the standard duty, that's not necessary, but certainly the enhanced duty, behaviour detection training and how what to do with a suspicious package and what to do if there's a bomb threat, all of those kinds of things, that training is absolutely essential.
And in preparing this and in campaigning to get this law passed, you actually went back to college to study counterterrorism, is that right?
Because when Martin died, I was a complete layperson. I didn't know anything about terrorism. I thought it only happens in other countries, maybe in London. And then it was a big shock to the system when we were suddenly in the news after this attack and we lost Martin. So I then had so many questions about who are these people, why do they do it, what are governments doing about it, what's the UK doing about it? Sorry, I'm in a noisy place. And also, why do people do terrorist attacks? How did it all start? All these questions were in my head. So the only way I could deal with it was to get answers, and that was through education.
Mm. But it's been a long time coming, 8 years.
Yes.
Did you, when you first started campaigning for this, on a political level, did you meet some resistance?
But there were lots of hurdles. But we also had COVID in between. That's one of the reasons it took longer. We had changes in leadership. We had change in government. There's been lots and lots of delays. And there's also been the issue of the details of the legislation. They kept changing. So and obviously any law that you want to bring out, unbeknown to me, has to go through certain procedures, such as it's got to be going through a scrutiny period of 2 months where people pick it apart. Then it has to go through the House of Commons. It then has to be debated in the House of Lords. there has to be a public consultation. In fact, in the case of Martin's Law, there wasn't just one consultation. There were disagreements about thresholds of numbers of people. So a second public consultation took place. So it was very, very thoroughly debated for a lengthy time. And we now have the legislation after all that time.
And did that legislation come out in the form that you were happy with?
I'm happy with it. It's different to what we had originally planned. The only thing I'm maybe a bit unhappy about is the numbers, the threshold number. We had it originally at 100 to 799. By increasing the number to 200, a lot of smaller venues are not coming under the legislation. For instance, I live in a small town with lots of cafes and restaurants and a tiny theatre, amateur dramatic theatre with 100 seats. That is now no longer covered, whereas before it would have been covered. So where I live, none of the venues are now covered. And that's a shame. But we still have a solid piece of legislation. And, you know, to me, this is only the start anyway. Anything can be adjusted at a later date. Eventually, this legislation will be under review to see what, you know, evaluated to see what works and doesn't work. And hopefully the Home Secretary at the time, whoever it is, can then suggest improvements and amendments.
Yeah. How would they go about reviewing that? Because God forbid you wouldn't want there to be any more terrorist attack. There are other ways of doing that.
Yeah. There would just be a review of the whole, you know, there'd probably be similar to a public consultation. The industry that's affected by it would probably be asked to fill in some review and would be able to review online or to the government. And then there will be an evaluation of that. And then if necessary, changes can then be made if it was felt necessary. But hopefully that won't be the case, because at the moment what we've got is a reasonably sound piece of legislation that will save thousands of lives.
Given all the work you've done, are you going to continue to work in this kind of area now, Fegan?
So I'm going to take it easier because I am very, very tired. I've really worked 150%, and I'm going to take a short rest. I'm also going to start personal therapy because I put my grief for Martin on hold, and I'm going to explore my grief as well now. Take a bit of a rest, but after that, I will go back to the industry to see how it all unfolds, but only work about 20-30% of the time now.
Yes.
It's up to the industry to do their bit now. I've done my bit.
And particularly the master's degree you did.
Yeah.
Did that alter your view of the man who carried out the bombing?
Not really. To be honest with you, less than 4 weeks after the attack, I went on national TV and publicly forgave the terrorist. And the reason for that is because I realised he's super young. He was only 22 years old. And I just looked at the bigger picture and thought, you know, when you were born, you were an innocent baby. Somebody poisoned your mind and therefore I can forgive you. And he went over a glass bridge from the station, Victoria Station in Manchester, into the arena or over a glass bridge. And I'm sure that when he walked over that glass bridge with this big bomb in his rucksack, he must have been convinced he's doing the right thing for his cause. And he was very ill-guided, very misinformed, ill-informed. And it is what it is. I can't bring Martin back. I don't want to hate and get angry because I feel hate breeds hate and anger breeds anger. And that doesn't solve anything.
Indeed, that's the case. Fegan, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and congratulations on getting that piece of legislation passed. That was Fegan Murray there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.